Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor, and if one were to fall, the other would be there to pick them back up. That's scripture.
It is.
It's scripture. And I am Ronald Corsi, Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
And we are still married. We are at the season finale of season two. Woot woot. She would have said it if she wasn't drinking tea. So I said it for her. It's been a long time. This is going to be episode 49. Which is kind of annoying because you wanted.
I was about to say we should do 50.
Because you wanted to have stopped on.
That's 50. Cool. We'll start season three with a 50th episode giveaway.
Day 50 of Pentecost.
Yes.
Well, Pentecost means 50. Stuff you learn when you're an adult. You're just calling stuff, yeah, Pentecost. It means 50. Amen.
Interesting.
But as some may know, you know, we just bought a house and we are finaleing today because we are going to, you know, really dig into the moving process and we won't be here to shoot anymore.
Indeed.
Somebody asked if this was a studio. I said, it's very precious. This is not. This is a wall of my apartment building. And not necessarily
our dining area.
Dining area, right?
Yes.
This little nook. If you would go, if the camera would pan it down, you'd see a box next to me and some bags behind her. Mm-hmm. We're moving. The Lord made a way, Chels. And how do you relate that to marriage? It's like, will you really think all the ways that the Lord has to make? Because here's the issue is it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Ain't not, no can be.
Yeah. But you know what I was thinking today? Is like, I feel like that marriage is not necessarily the problem. I think the problems that people experience in marriage are personal and they bring them to the marriage. Because here you have a person whom you love and you've chosen to be with this person. You've said, oh, I love you and we should be married. We should spend our lives together.
Yes.
And you have these problems. And what happens is the person catches the brunt of the problems. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. when that's the real issue is now we're becoming one because we live together and our lives are together and the Lord is spiritually working things out for us to have to deal with them
together.
And so now all the issues I have, they're going to start surfacing. Mm-hmm. You're going to see them and they're going to have to be addressed. People who end up getting divorced is like, I feel like they couldn't surmount the problems.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a problem. Right. It's not necessarily a problem with the relationship. Mm-hmm. Let's give an example. We're arguing, but we're not arguing for the sake of arguing. A typical argument is like, you're doing something I don't like. And then I have to say, okay, well, why don't I like that? And the root of it is something that could be deep-seated.
Right.
You know, it's not even necessarily you.
Right.
It's a problem I have, and now I'm bringing it to you.
It's very true.
Like, I'm committing adultery because I have a problem. It's not you. It's not even like, oh, I don't find you attractive. It's like, no, I think I need to have sex with a lot of women because I'm insecure that I can't please a woman or something like that.
Or so, that I'm not desirable.
Or that I'm gay.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking something like, yeah, it could be something like maybe you're just trying to, somebody thought you was gay when you were a child or maybe your whole family. I'm laughing at my brother because I was single and for apparently too long for him to just accept like, oh, he doesn't have a woman. Like, nah, he gonna ask me, are you gay? I mean, I'm like, Deke, like, what are you talking about right now? I'm like, are you serious right now? It's like, because I don't have a woman. Yeah, for those in the black community, typically if you don't have a woman, you're gay.
Have mercy.
That's typically how it works. And it's kind of toxic, but nonetheless. But if you take that.
Can we clarify, too? if you don't bring a woman around them.
Yeah.
Because it's not that you're not, it's like if you're not in a relationship and have brought the woman home.
Yes.
And there's a difference. It doesn't mean you never don't talk to anybody had any dates. It's just, you just haven't met any people yet. That's all.
That's the fun. It's like, how did you skip? Like, I've had girl, but you know what? He wasn't around. Shout out to my brother.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I love my brother. He was a little bit of a rebel rouser, rebellious child. So he, you know, who knows where he was? I would be home. He lived there, but he wasn't always there. So who knows? But you know, I had a few girlfriends here and there, but nothing. You know, it's kid girlfriends. That stuff doesn't matter. Right. Why would I ever bring them around? Mm-hmm. But you know, just too long. It's just like, well, you must be. But I could I could take that and internalize it, and maybe if there was a hurt attached to it, like.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, people really thought that about me and now they wanted to like attack me about it, like mm-hmm. family. Now I could have this complex where now I need to prove to everybody I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So now I sleep with as many women as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And now me being married because I love you, I have to fight with that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'm losing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean is that, you know,
yeah.
The problem with marriage is not marriage. The problem with marriage is always us.
It's true.
We are the problem with marriage. It's because we don't understand that, you know, the problems that we're facing are deeper rooted than the person that we're looking at.
Yeah.
It's somebody you're not looking at. It's somewhere deep within.
Mm-hmm. And if you keep placing the blame on someone else, you're deflecting from dealing with your issues.
There it is.
And then you're not going to change. Yeah. And that's where you see people get remarried and remarried and remarried and it's never working.
It ain't me.
But it's always them. It's not me.
Not me.
And it's like, well, no, it's you.
It's you.
It's you.
Certainly.
And maybe, I mean, maybe sometimes it's not,
no.
but.
No, it's them. You said it right.
You know, but in most cases, it's like, especially if you're seeing a pattern, let's say you're even just dating, you're seeing a pattern of like having the same problem with every person.
Yeah.
If you always have the same, why are all of them like this? No. Why does that always bother you?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like depending on what it is, obviously certain things are unacceptable, but depending on what it is, it's like, I think what you said was very true. And that goes across a spectrum of types of relationships. Like I can't keep friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why is everybody? No. If you're finding that more than one person is offending you in the same way, why are you offended by it so easily? Like, why is that such a sensitive spot for you? And maybe you need to deal with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Self-improvement is so important. And marriage and then even parenthood will definitely drive you, you know, where you're... Well, you should. And we talked about that in our small group that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying, like, do you love the people around you enough to want to get better?
Yeah, to tell, yeah.
And that was deep to me.
That's hard.
Because I never really look at it that way, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's a very selfless way to look at it.
It's a very selfless thing, and we don't even mean to not be selfless.
Yeah.
You know, we just might not, if it's not brought to your attention that, like, hey, you becoming a better person is a blessing to the people in your life.
Right.
It's not just about you.
Yes.
And maybe if you were to want to be a better person for God and for others rather than for yourself,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you would be more driven to improve.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Right. No, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because if it's just for you, you can kind of brush it off like, I don't feel like it today. Eh.
Right.
Because I'm secretly okay with me the way I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or slash... And if you want to go deeper, secretly, okay, now we're getting too deep. Because now it's like the reason why people are overweight is because, not even just overweight, maybe somebody's like super unhealthy and mm-hmm. doesn't seem to value their life like that. When at heart, you know, the law of preservation would say to you, if I really value my life, I wouldn't like eat this way. I wouldn't live my life this way. I wouldn't be out of getting drunk. I wouldn't be doing
mm-hmm.
drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But something inside of you believes that you are really that person.
Mm.
You are fat.
Yeah.
Like you actually believe that. And what's happened is your eating patterns and how you live your life is a reflection of your self-image, like mm-hmm. how you actually see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So your actions are matching up with your self-image to make sure you stay this way. This is why when people try to get on a diet, they start looking like what they don't think they should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so they automatically revert.
Yep.
I've been there, right? Mm-hmm. So you're doing good, and then somewhere along the line, you're like, this is where you can't defeat your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is saying, this isn't you.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You're fat.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I hate when old grown, you know, it's just black people. We just mm-hmm. need prayer. Because, you know, you walk up to a kid, hey, what's your little fat self?
Right.
Hey, your little bad self. You're so it's ugly.
It's true. I was just talking to somebody.
And every
about
time
that.
You see somebody tell you that, now you really feel like, oh, I guess I'm fat and greedy.
Yeah.
And hey, lo and behold, now 30 years later, you can't. And then something inside of you wells up and say, you know what? I'm going to finally get my life together.
Right.
And I'm going to lose the weight. You lose 30 pounds. Oh, man, I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to eat a cheesesteak today.
And it's over. Done. It's a wrap. That cheesesteak was too good.
It was too good. and you go right back to your self-image.
Yeah.
You go right back to what you think you're supposed to be in the first place. And
yeah.
most times it's actually worse. Now you're 10 pounds heavier
it's
than where you
true.
Started.
It's true. Yes. It is true.
Yes, because
it's very true.
That's what happens. And I was going to say the only time that sometimes is more for family members where, like, your children.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I mean, you love them endlessly. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't really care for you like that. they don't. They
just
need
you. Mommies.
I mean, they do, but that's just because you have everything
and girls
he
love
needs.
Their daddies.
Once I stop having what she needs, they start showing their true colors. Oh, you don't have what I need. Well,
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know.
But
I
the
know
children,
what you mean, though. We really
they'll
love
be
them.
They'll be the ones that'll make you say, you know what, I really got to get my life together for my children.
It's true.
Other people, please. I ain't never thought, yeah, man, my parents really love me. Let me go ahead and make sure.
That's true.
My life is together. Be like,
and
man,
unfortunately,
they'll be
your
all right.
spouse.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because there's something in the subconscious, like you were referring to, mm-hmm. that will tell you, like, yeah, but they'll be all right. But yeah. you love me.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you love me. That's we're right. together. It's a done deal. Like, I don't really have to.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't have to keep myself together.
Right.
I don't really have to take a bath all the time. It's just like, I didn't. I know there's something better or worse, but I didn't want the worst to be funkiness.
Right. Okay.
Like, that's not what I was going for.
Right.
Unforeseen circumstances, not yeah. seen soap that was ignored. let's take a bath, guy. Right. Yeah. But I was going to see, this is why you have to follow Christ.
Yeah.
Is that he's coming to fix. And I was listening to Pastor Morris today. And it was saying that he's the healer of the brokenhearted, that the Greek word there, the Greek word there is a word for brokenness. It's not just broke, because when you say broke, there's different types of broke in Greek.
Okay.
Right.
Of course.
This is where we always struggle.
Of course there are.
And this is why when people study words, that they're generally a better teacher, because mm-hmm. you can get to a better understanding mm-hmm. of the definition. It's not broke like how I would break a chair or break a table. Because, you know, I can break that right there and maybe break off a piece and it's broke.
Yeah.
But the broken word stands, it's like shattered.
Okay.
It's something that you cannot put
Repair.
Back together.
Okay.
It's unrepairable.
Wow.
I'm the healer of the broken heart. I mean, literally, I'm the only one who can put you back together.
Wow.
I'm the only one. And lo and behold, if you really knew, the shattering is a way to actually reveal, if not let go of, things that are inside. It's like, you know, it's like breaking a pinata.
Yeah.
And or is there something inside, except on the worst side, is there something in your heart that really needs to come out,
mm-hmm.
but can't get to it without breaking it? How can I get it out without breaking it? So I have to shatter it. And now I
so
can
you
remove
can't
it.
Even pick these pieces up and glue them back
nah,
together if
that's
you want to.
Oh yeah, because you will.
We want to.
Oh, you want to put them back together. let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh yeah, yeah. You want to put them back together. He's saying, nope, I'm the only one that can put it back together. So yeah.
Yeah, there's so much. So, I just said to a friend of mine the other day, I was. They had like an issue with like a family relationship, and I was like, you know, I'm going to pray that God restores. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pray that God restores. You don't want to go back to what you had.
Hello.
I'm going to pray that God renews.
Oh yeah.
Like, you need something new. You need
oh,
something
yeah.
different. You know, and I think a lot of times, because it makes me, what you were saying made me think of the children of Israel too, that they wanted to go back to Egypt.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is so retarded.
It's
I would rather be in captivity than in freedom because, oh, but at least it's more predictable and comfortable that way. It's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
I know what to expect. I know how to do that life.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to be free. Mm-hmm. I was just, so many people. I talk to a lot of people. So, you know, someone else I was talking to.
Without question.
I was also talking to another friend of mine and just saying that, you know, like we want to be free from things, but we don't always want to be free from things.
No.
Because freedom is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes bondage is a crutch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, what do I do if, like, I no longer have the crutch of depression? Mm. Because now I always am having a good day. Mm-hmm. And now I always have to be responsible.
Yes.
That's scary.
Now you're responsible.
now you have to be held accountable. Like, oh, why didn't you
yes.
do XYZ today? Oh, I just didn't feel like it. Oh, and now we're getting to the real crux of things because I'm lazy. Yikes.
First of all, apparently the Lord wants somebody to notice that the Lord, Daryl said this to me this morning that at Lowe's when we was going to pick up doors for the house that he said, let me read this to you. He said that the sluggard says that I will not go out into the street because there a lion will eat me.
Mm-hmm.
Something of that nature. And he asked me what I thought it meant. And I was like, I said something.
Uh-huh.
But what it meant is that, like, lazy people make excuses.
Yes. Yes. And they'll be good ones. Okay. Good. You don't want to get eaten by a lion.
That's
sure. A great, me either.
Yes. You're a liar, though. That's like,
but that's not why.
It's not why. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and we have excuses that are good ones.
Mm-mm-mm.
They're good ones.
My goodness.
You know, and you can be, there's so much going through my mind right now because, so our son, we talked about how, you know, well, I don't know if we've actually said he was officially diagnosed with autism, but, you know, we've talked about him having some developmental delays and everything. And so we're in the process now, mainly me, of finding him care because after early intervention you then have to, like, early intervention they send you the therapist, they tell you what they need and they just send it to you and you just have to open the door. Hi, nice to meet you,
thank you.
You know, now okay, he needs this therapy and you have to go find it. And there's going to be waiting lists and there's going to be this and you got to fill out all this paperwork and, you know, and blah, 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 you know, and then what school is he going to go to, and that's just been, you know, a lot of things to do. But yeah, so in the midst of doing all of that, though, I go to tour this, I go to tour in ABA therapy daycare the other day. And the lady is literally sitting there saying to me, we're not going to put any demands on your son. She kept saying it over and over again. She kept saying, man, this is like, sometimes you know how you, something is like really resonating with you and it's like on the inside, you're just like, ugh. So yeah.
Caught the spirit.
Yeah, so... So she kept saying to me, you'll notice, she said it more than once, notice no kids are crying in here. Mm-hmm. Like, they only cry when it's time to leave because they have such a good time here because we don't make them do anything they don't want to do. And so she's like, this is totally child-led therapy. So, like, you know, if they don't want to do this, fine. So what can we find that motivates you to want to do it?
Wow.
And then we'll find what motivates you. And then we'll incorporate therapy into what you want to do. But it's all your choice. It's completely child-led. And I'm like, with a person with autism, you cannot let them decide what they want to do.
Correct.
With any human being.
Really.
With any child. You cannot let the... He's 3 years old.
Yes.
You cannot let... Oh, three-year-old, what do you want to do now?
Eat cake.
Eat cake and boogers.
Certainly.
And pour bleach on the floor and...
Without question.
Cut, use scissors on something
on
the couch
hair.
And on my hair and
on
in my eyeball.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Raise the child.
Please.
Teach the child.
Certainly.
But especially someone who is on the spectrum, they really need you to help. That's the point of getting in early intervention, is so that you can reshape their brain before it's stuck.
Right.
Because, you know, all children, you know, science says that around 7 years old, you're who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it, of course, we're talking about the God that can repair. He'll shatter it. He'll completely break you down and start over.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It's never too late. But, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult, though, once you are stuck in your ways.
Oh, yeah.
Children within a certain age range in the earlier years of their life are very moldable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so many things, because that's why God tells us to be like a child.
Yep.
Anyway.
There it is.
They're so just you know, able to be molded and able to be changed.
Yeah.
And then you get to a certain age and a certain amount of time that you've been doing things the same way, and it gets much harder.
Certainly.
And then you have to be shattered. It's almost like before the paint dries.
Yeah.
You got to, like, do it before the paint dries, because then it's a whole nother job.
Wow.
You know, so it's like, but especially with him, I'm like, thinking to myself, like, this is a beautiful facility. The staff is super nice. It's super clean. They had a great sick policy, and you know how I feel about germs and cleanliness and all of that. I'm like, their sick policy is like 48 hours. Everybody else's is 24. Yay. You know, I'm dead serious. And he would have a one-on-one aide. Everything sounds nice. And the facility is like just lights. Corey was obsessed. Our 7-year-old was obsessed with the police. They had like a glow in the dark room. They had trampolines, like all kinds of stuff. And I was like, he would love it here. However, if you're not going to push him to do anything he's uncomfortable with, how are you going to help him?
Right.
How are you going to teach him to be social if he decides he doesn't feel like being in circle time? You say, okay.
Yeah. I'm reminded. You can't, first of all. I'm reminded of a movie. It was called The Accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ben Affleck was autistic, and his father just treated him like he wasn't. Really treated him like a really strict son. And just like, all right, well, if he's struggling with these things, I'm going to basically force him to go through them until he can actually get through it.
Yeah.
Because I can't be here forever.
Yeah.
And you're not going to love him how I love him anyway.
Right.
And here is God. And he puts us through things because we need to.
Yeah.
And you'd think that we would actually start learning this lesson. But we're so Israelite-ish.
Yeah.
And they're stiff-necked, and we stiff-necked. And,
yeah.
And for those who don't know what stiff-necked means, it just means hard-headed. It was the earliest form of hard-headedness. Meaning, I'm trying to turn your head this way, and you just, nope, I'm not going left. We're going right.
Yep. Stuck.
And we're stuck. So we have to keep learning these lessons. Because even now with the house, you know, and all this stuff is coming up, you know, there's always a side that wants to be, like, stressed out.
Yep.
And like, oh, Lord, what are we going to do now?
And every
time.
Start
crying like a slave. Oh, Lord, what
is we going to do? I want to go back. I don't want bigger and better,
I just, Lord. Never mind, Lord. We just ain't going to take the house. I'll just go renew this lease at the apartment. And we'll be okay.
Yep.
And God is like, hey, you know, in your experience with him, you should learn that, hey, he's actually working out a lot of stuff.
First of all, he already did.
Well, that's actually what the word says. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he already has worked it out. So there's actually no, why are you trying to figure it out? He already worked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're trying to figure out something that already has a solution. So the key is to stop worrying about it.
That's
it. And really, and this is a hard one, stop trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Because he's already fixing it.
Lord knows I struggle with that.
Yes. That's a hard one, because you feel like you're supposed to be doing something. Mm-hmm. And in certain regards, you actually are.
Right.
But you have to be led by the Spirit.
That's it.
To know, like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing this now, or I'm not supposed to be doing this. And that's why it's so important to be close with God and to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Because Christ is how we get that access.
Mm-hmm.
He is the intercession. He is the He's the everything. He is the, you know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. I actually saw something, well, that's too deep. I don't want to get into all that. But he literally is the way, the truth, and the life. He represents all three baptisms. He was the representation of all three layers of getting into the holies of holies, into God's presence.
Wow.
All the baptisms, he has a representation of all of them.
Mm.
And he is the way to be able to say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only way to just be like, whatever it is, okay.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You won't be offended. And I was sitting there thinking about people being offended. It's like our neighbor, who's like apparently just super nice, older white gentleman.
Our new neighbor.
Yeah, JR. Yeah. And well, I won't say his name. Our new neighbor, who's an older white gentleman, very nice, and has literally just, you know, I know it's God's favor, because as soon as he sees, like, hey, man, it's great to have good neighbors. Anything you need, every time I see him, anything you need, you just let me know. And he literally cut our grass.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart.
He cut our grass, and he gave Daryl a chainsaw today.
Aw.
Because apparently, you know, he's just got a bunch of tools and a garage in his backyard and all
this. It's good to know older people, man. Because they got stuff.
They got stuff.
Okay.
It's stuff you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah. They're prepared. Yes,
they got prepared.
We know how to do life at this point.
And he was saying, oh, man, I hope I wouldn't offend you. And I'm sitting there thinking, offend me? But what it is that people would take offense and that he would be, you take it like this, is as if he's saying to me, you're not doing a good enough job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is what happens when you follow Christ. I don't have an ego.
Right. Wow.
How could you offend me when I know that it's only God's favor that has put this on your heart to do it in the first place? Mm-hmm. To say, let me help out this random person who could be a drug dealer for all he knows. He don't know. And I know that it is God's favor, and now I'm not accepting it.
Wow.
Because that's what a typical response would
be. That's so true.
Oh, are you saying I can't cut my own grass? And I'm sitting there like, please, you want to cut my grass? By all means. I don't care how you get it done. Thank you. You want to trim the hedges? Thank you. Mm-hmm. You want to throw a roof on? Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Glad you did it. Thank God. I know he's good.
Wow.
And here he is working it out through people, and we over here being offended.
Wow. And see, the difference is that you didn't ask him to cut the grass.
That's right.
Now, it might be more offensive for some, like I guess what I'm saying is, like, people look at it the same as like, oh, I don't take any handouts.
Yeah.
It's taking a handout if you're begging.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not in Christ. We don't need to be beggars.
No.
We don't need to be beggars. But, you know, you can ask for what you need if you need it or whatever. But we don't need to be beggars or just out here like not doing anything for ourselves, not being self-sufficient in any way.
Right.
You know, that's when it's bad. But if you've literally just you just show up somewhere and somebody's like, I'd like to do this for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It takes nothing away from my capability.
Oh, yeah. Nothing.
Or like my reputation or anything. Just
yeah.
The Lord sent you to bless me, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Or ma'am. You know,
or ma'am.
You're robbing. I came to a turn on there because that's like a typical response for people, and really is pride.
It is.
Oh, somebody's trying to do something for me. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I can't do that unless I've done something for you.
Right.
That's what they really mean.
Right.
Like, oh, you've done something for me. Okay. Well, hopefully I've done something for you, or I plan to do something for you so then I can take this. When I've decided that's not the God we serve, you have not so learned Christ.
Wow.
Christ didn't say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm looking for you to.
That's so true.
You know, I'm looking for you to do something. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, you finally did something for me. So, all right, well, now let me go ahead and be this sacrifice. It's like, no, out of his love, out of his own volition, he made a plan and a purpose and carried it out, irregardless of how people felt about it. Forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Don't worry about the mocking. Don't worry about the scorning.
Right.
I'll just do what I'm supposed to do based off of that. So now, if there's no ego, imagine Christ, the only person who could have ego.
Yeah.
No ego, right?
Yeah.
Not prideful, and could be. But, you know, praise God.
And Paul spoke to that, too. He's like, if anybody could be prideful, it's me.
It's him, or him, even Paul, right?
Yeah.
But now, you are not being prideful, and in that you allow somebody to just bless you. Mm-hmm. And just accept it. Like, I come to the full conclusion, like, I'm walking in God's favor. I have made a decision, like, oh, I'm really going to pursue God. So now all the benefits are there.
Yeah.
So if somebody's doing something for me, I don't accredit it to me.
Yeah.
I don't say, well, it's because of I did anything. I don't even say it's because I followed Christ. I'll just say, well, I do say that sometimes. Because people don't understand.
And that's the truth. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah, and that gives him glory.
It gives him glory because people is like, oh, man, I don't understand how you do it. I say, hey, man, it's God's favor.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And I accept it. Instead of people trying to bless you and you don't want to take what God sent you because you're generally being prideful.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there saying, look, if anybody, I don't care who you are, what you are, if somebody who's doing worse than me wants to bless me, thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Homeless man wants to give me money. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And other people would look and say, oh, don't let that homeless man give you money. I'm like, God, man, I put it on his heart to give me money as a test of faith.
Him. Yeah.
And really, it's not even a mite. You know, you're going to see you sowing reaping is worldly.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. It's spiritual, but it's not is not exclusive.
It's more
to,
of a science,
right? It's not exclusive to Christians.
Yes,
sowing and reaping is a world, you know.
And I want to say too that mm-hmm. speaking things into existence as well. So as mm-hmm. you were saying earlier, with like the you're fat and you're right. ugly and you're stupid, all mm-hmm. that type of yeah. stuff, big head, you know, and you receive all of that. But like speaking those things can really
yeah.
bring it into existence, and speaking things in, you know, the world calls it manifesting. Yeah. But we know that that's a godly principle.
Correct.
But yeah, these things still are true.
Right.
Apart from Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because it's a God thing. Mm-hmm. And God is not, you know.
That's just what he decided. Anyway. That's how he designed things.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
So the lesson for all of that is, you know, when people decide to bless you, just let them.
Yeah.
Don't, you ain't got to be sitting around looking, you know, this is too much money. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would make me happier than somebody walking up to me and giving me too much money.
Right. I mean, which has happened to us. I was just saying, talking to somebody about that too,
yeah.
That like sometimes that can be uncomfortable when it's like, I feel like the level of our relationship doesn't warrant
not
the level of the amount of the giving.
We're going to have to pray for you on that one. Not for me.
Yeah, not for Ron. No, but that I do still struggle with that where it's mm-hmm. just like, that's like a little too lavish.
You can't do this. I haven't.
Did not nope. And I think for me, I get nervous that there's going to be strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want you to require anything or expect anything of me after that, you
not
know,
me.
But
that ain't got nothing to do with me. Hey, you expect a string? You should have said that when you gave it.
At the same time, though, be Holy Spirit led, because sometimes it's not from the Lord.
Yep.
So be Holy Spirit led. But if your spirit is at rest about it,
mm-hmm.
you prayed and your spirit's at rest. All right, cool.
Man.
I ask God for wisdom every day. So
yeah, normally he don't. You know, I feel like the Lord. He loves me. And he knows I can't take dealing with people like that, you know. So he don't send me. He tries not to send me foolishness, because I can't take it,
he
Lord.
Tries not
you
to
know
send
I can't.
Me
I'm not. Some people is the warriors for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these are the people that can, you know, have cancer and just go on about their business and be like, and you know, praying demons out of people. It's like, I'm not that guy, Lord. I'm not. I don't. And if you want me to be fine, just give me. You know, he gives grace where you need it, regardless.
He does.
But presently, I don't have those graces. Like,
mm-hmm.
you need somebody to pray a demon out. It's like, I can do what I can, but it better be a calm one.
Okay.
it better be a calm demon.
And that's why, that's why you got to operate in your gifting.
And you're gifted.
Because God doesn't call us all to the same thing. We're
no.
many, we're one body, but many parts, many vocations.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to all be, if God didn't call you to be the one out here casting out demons, then don't be trying to come up on it like, okay.
Hilarious.
I got this, when the Lord didn't say, hey, you got this.
Well, it depends. I don't know. That might be a bad example, because I think
we all
have the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not a Tuesday for everybody.
Right, right.
It's like some
no,
people,
for sure.
It's like they tell you stories and you're over there like, man, I really wish you hadn't have told me that, because now I'm going to be looking kind of around my room like, this is a little spooky. Let's take it easy on that. And some people
that's
just
funny.
Like, yep, that's good. Amen. And then they just have lunch. Spooky
right.
didn't bother him or nothing.
No, but you're right. That might not be a good example, because, well,
right.
first of all, we aren't afraid
right.
of the enemy, because
mm-hmm.
greater is he that is in me than
yes.
he that is in the world.
Certainly.
However, I also know that there were instances in the Bible with demons where they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they were following the Lord.
Certainly.
And then they came to him and said, how come we couldn't do it? And he says, some of these only come out by fasting and prayer.
There you go.
Then we also see where the demon turned around and said, I know these people, but I don't know you.
I don't know,
like,
y'all.
Make sure you write with the Lord before
Please
you go
make sure you're right. Please do.
I'm just saying, I agree with you. That ain't no regular Tuesday.
No, it's not a
situation.
Tuesday. Some people is prayer warriors.
Absolutely.
And that's just Tuesday for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then other people have other giftings.
Yeah.
Because certain people can't do other spiritual things, like, hey, I need you to, you know, witness to. That's a grace right there, even to be like, hey, like the guy, I don't remember what his name is, white gentleman. It seems like he's at a college or something.
Mm.
And he's just giving a case for Christ. And then all these young, because there's so many young people that come around, so I feel like he's at a college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, and they're all coming to ask why the Bible isn't reliable, and,
mm-hmm.
and why we don't necessarily have to believe that Christ did such and such. And he just stands there
mm-hmm.
and explains his case to
mm-hmm.
however many people come, and just keeps saying it
mm-hmm.
and just keeps standing there every day.
Yeah.
Like, that's a grace to be able to do that.
It is.
We all have to share Christ, but to share Christ in front of 400 people and defend it, mm-hmm. there's a grace.
Yeah.
It's like there's a grace and an anointing because that's what God does. He doesn't just throw everybody and say, hey, everybody go preach. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. Everybody go evangelize. No, it's like, no, you have a gift of evangelism. You have a gift of preaching. You have a gift of teaching. You have a gift of
helps
and one
administration.
More. Administration. And administration mm-hmm. something else, right?
Mm-hmm. Tongues.
No, it wasn't tongues. It was I'm sorry. These are just gifts for the equipping of the saints. It's five of them. I can't remember. Apostles, evangelists, preachers, teachers, and what's that fifth one? Something else. Whatever.
I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 12, where it lists the gifts.
It's not the spiritual
the parts
gifts
of the body.
Yeah. That's true, right? That's the spiritual gifts too. But I was talking about the ministry portion. Yeah. They both matter.
I know what
right?
you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah. But yeah, just walking in the actual gift and grace of God is so important because like there's just certain stuff you ain't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And there is a level of it. And this is where somebody explained it. It's like everybody's not supposed to be a teacher, but mm-hmm. we will have to teach at some level.
Right.
Everybody's not a preacher, but you will have to do some sort of preaching at a certain point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. In right. that regard.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about the whole thing with when I went to tour that daycare, I wound up talking to a friend of mine afterward, because we're blessed to have two friends who have children that are on the spectrum that are older mm-hmm. than our kids, than our son, and are able to give us some wise counsel on like what to do. And this friend was agreeing with me that, like, you know, not being pushed in any way to grow is not the way, you know, and the route that I was thinking to take is like, let's just put him in a normal daycare. He doesn't have any behavior problems, praise God, where like he's not like no aggression issues or he's not in danger to himself or others in any way. And he's pretty easygoing. And he actually does have a pretty good like understanding, even though he doesn't talk a lot, like he understands a lot and he follows directions, I think, pretty well for, you know, all 3-year-olds are sketchy with following directions. I think he's kind of typical for his age with that. Yeah. But, you know, but he would do well in preschool. Like he wouldn't give anybody any problems as far as I could tell. Mm. So I was thinking like, let me just put him in a regular preschool where he can be around people who are typically developing, like children, peers who are typically developing and where we're trying to get him to be. You know, and that way he can see that and kind of conform to that. And, you know, so my friend was like, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she was saying that a therapist that her child had was saying that she hates the way that they do things in the Northeast, like in the liberal states, not just the Northeast, but in the liberal states where everything's more about acceptance and affirmation than it is about like, okay, this is just what needs to happen.
Mm. Yeah, growth and structure.
Yeah, yeah. And then you go to like more of those like Bible Belt states and stuff like that, and they're like, nah, we just have a standard. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there's just certain things you need to function well in life and be a good member of society, like and moral things. But even apart from moral things, like we want you to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like just being pushed out your comfort zone. But still being led by the Holy Spirit. I think there's a connection between the two of those things where you don't want to be where God didn't have for you to be, mm-hmm. but where he has for you to be, you want to grow, mm-hmm. you know? So it's not for you to, you don't want to step outside of your grace, but you do need to step outside of your comfort zone.
I'm thinking the way you just said that, when you think of Abraham, Abraham was called out. You know, Abraham was an idol worshiper like his father. Mm-hmm. And because that's what they did where they were. And he called him out of that nation to make of him a new nation and said, hey, I need you to leave your father's house and your father's idols and all your people and land and all that and go somewhere where he didn't tell him where.
Yeah.
He just said, get up out of here.
Mercy.
But Abraham did not fully commit because he brung Lot.
Yeah.
And you actually Like, it's the crazy part about all these people in the Bible and the Old Testament, they have these names. Like, these are the people of, these are the Edomites.
Yeah.
The Edomites are the sons of Esau, because mm-hmm. Esau is Edom. Mm-hmm. And the Moabites and the Ammonites, they were the Jebusite and the whatever. It's like five of them or six of them that he had to cast out of Canaan mm-hmm. so that they could inhabit the land. Mm-hmm. And the Ammonites and the Moabites are the children of Moab mm-hmm. and Ammon. Mm-hmm. And Lot, who went with Abraham, and literally every time they were going somewhere, their sheep herders always had this strife mm-hmm. to the point where Lot says to Abraham, hey, our sheep herders and your sheep herders, they cannot get along, so we just need to set. It's because they had so much.
Yeah.
You know, God was still blessing them,
yeah.
but there was still strife.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Right? So now he said, look, where you go in any direction you want, I'll just go in the opposite, and we'll be good.
And wound up having to part ways right, anyway.
Right. And they had to part ways anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it is. That's how the Lord is saying,
yeah.
Abraham, I didn't necessarily want him to come in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But now you see, we keep having these issues with Lot. Mm-hmm. But now you are going to part ways. And mm-hmm. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then Abraham goes wherever. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But we know he had all these issues. But what happens is eventually they have to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife turns into a pillar of salt. Therefore, they end up going maybe somewhere where his daughters think that there's no other like men around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up sleeping with their father.
Yeah.
And the children's are Ammon and Moab.
Oh, wow.
And they are the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites. These people that you later on have to go against.
Mm.
And God has to drive them out because mm-hmm. you didn't leave them behind.
Oh, wow.
So now the things you're facing
mm-hmm.
are in your face, but mm-hmm. they're only there because you didn't listen to me in the first place.
Wow.
And we don't always think of the things that are down the line.
Yeah.
Because here Abraham is just saying, well, I'm going somewhere, but, you know, I got to take somebody.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm going with you. I'm the somebody.
Wow.
He didn't even tell him his name. He didn't know God's name at the time. He was just Elohim. Mm-hmm. He was just God. I'm like, all right, well, you're God, so. But he said, well, I'm going to just take Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. I don't even know. Maybe hundreds of thousands of years later, here comes Moses and Joshua saying, this is the land we're going to go through. And I'm going to, he said a certain word, and I couldn't say it right there. I'm going to remove from your sight the Ammonites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, and the two other, mm-hmm. three other groups. I'm going to get them out of your sight.
Mm.
You're going to have to defeat them now. Mm-hmm. You could have left them, but now you're going to have to defeat them.
Mm. And that was their descendants, like your children
right.
are paying for that.
I'm sorry. That's the funny part, is that I was trying to make the point that I'm like, we hear all these groups. It's like they all came from the same people.
I mean, really, they're your cousins.
They're cousins.
But they're yeah. so far removed.
They're so far removed. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, they'll pick somebody's name and be like, all right, these are the children of such and such.
Right.
It's like, but you go back a few generations, it's like, you know, y'all all came out of Noah.
Uh-huh.
And
it's true.
And the Bible literally lists the whole lineage of all these people. It's like, oh, well, it came out of him. It's like, yeah, that's your great, great uncle, something, nephew, cousin. Y'all all related. Man, it's just interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
No. And wow. That goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning with the small group Bible study we were doing. Like, do you love other people enough? Do you love your loved ones enough? We call them our loved ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love them enough to follow Christ?
Mm. Mercy.
And, like, really just try to be in God's will, because it does not only affect you. Mm-hmm. It affects you.
Yeah.
But it does not only affect you.
That's right.
And, yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, because I had texted you yesterday just talking about how I was thinking about things with the kids and just the way that, you know, we raise them and just talk to them and treat them and everything. Did you see the text?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, it's important, because I know that for me, and you were saying in marriage that we have issues within ourselves, yeah. that like we're triggered by someone else because of our issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that that's something that goes on with me with our daughter, where I get triggered by her being upset by anything that I've done or
right.
said. You know, and I know that there has to be a balance between, you know, it's like, obviously, but I'm still your mom. Mm-hmm. I can't let you do whatever you want to do. that's just not possible. I have to give you discipline. I have to give you correction and guidance. Yeah. I have to. So there's going to be some no's and there's going to be some upsets and tears and everything. Mm. However, you know, I do want to watch the way that I respond.
Yeah.
You know, just because there's something I was saying was that I do realize that if there's no level to like the amount of like if she accidentally drops a piece of cereal on the floor and I'm like, be careful. Didn't I tell you not to drop your food on the floor?
Right.
But then she steals a car and I'm like, what? Why you steal that car? It's like you got the same level of like reaction.
Right.
From an accident.
Correct.
Something that you couldn't even necessarily control. It was an accident. Right. Like I was doing my best mm-hmm. and I was trying and you're yelling at me.
Yeah.
And now I'm just nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, because now I'm just scared to mess up anything. I'm scared that you're not going to like me anymore. You're not going to approve of me. You're not going to love me. Yes. Like I can't do anything wrong. You know, and then it's just going to seem like, well, why do I try?
Right.
You know, and then you go and this has been that was my experience growing up where. You know, the way that I was disciplined, it was like I made a mistake that was age appropriate.
Right.
You know, and I got that what da, 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 belt whack whack, mm-hmm. you know, versus, OK, now I actually intentionally flushed my oatmeal down the toilet.
Right.
You know,
right.
Equal reaction.
Yeah.
You know, that's and it gets to a point where like once I was like in my early adult, well, like late teens, not super late teens. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. You know, I kind of was just like, all right, let me just wild out because it doesn't matter what I do. I'm always in trouble.
Right.
And like, I don't feel like trying to do the right thing anymore, or trying to make anyone happy or whatever, including God, because I grew up in two different denominations, but one of them being very legalistic. Mm-hmm. And I just started getting so frustrated because I'm like, yo, like no matter what I do,
always wrong.
I'm always wrong. I'm never going to do anything right. And I might as well just not try to do anything right. Let me just do what I feel like doing because what's the point?
Can't not go to hell.
Right, exactly. I can't not go to hell. I can't not lose friends, lose boyfriends, lose, you know, like my parents mad at me, whatever. And I was just like, who cares at that point, you know? And so looking back on that and then just some things that I've been coming across very frequently between like verses of the day and Bible studies and all of that, I felt like God was kind of trying to show me like, look, you know, you are responding from an angry place that is not because of her, but like she's catching the brunt of it, you know, in the way that you are, you know, flying off the handle before I even really assess the situation.
Right.
You know, to even know, was that worthy of my response, you know, and a God was really just showing me like, fix it because you're going to perpetuate this onto her.
Right.
And she doesn't need to take that from you. Like, you have to break that generational curse now. Because my parent did that to me because of generational. His parent did that to him. And, you know, and he was like, that needs to stop with you. Yeah. Like, that doesn't need to now go on to her. But we really do need to just seek the Lord because our spouse, our children, our friends, just all the, our family, all the people we're connected to, if we don't allow God to change us and direct us for the better, you know, like we're experiencing hurt and consequences and passing on hurt and consequences to others.
Yeah. And we're representing Christ in the same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And your experience then in general is going to dictate your relationship in that now that's how people see God. You see, you see God as that. And that's one of the hardest things. And that's actually, I watched the video today. It's one of the things he was talking about, actually having a relationship with God and understanding that He loves you for real.
Mm.
Like we can't really grasp unconditional love like that to really understand like how much he actually loves you. You're not trying to win his approval.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with legalism is that all the time, every time you see it so many times, you constrict people so much to think that if I live on the straight line, that I'll get God's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that then I'll be all right
to
really go to heaven. That's all they really are saying. But it's so strict that people eventually are just going to give up.
Yeah, because they can't do it.
Right. Or they're going to become liars.
Yeah. Wow.
This is what happens. It's like, no, I'm holy and I'm sanctified. It's just like, listen.
Wow.
It's like, let's like, it's fine for you to say that to me. God knows you. God is like, I don't care what you say. Like, you have a sin that you're dealing with. We all have sin that we're dealing with. God should be changing it in us, but that don't mean it's gone. Mm-hmm. And then once you get rid of that one, then he addresses some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a process. Over.
He that be confident of this thing. He who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He be confident of this. Do not doubt this phrase. Have full assurance. Verily, surely, I guarantee you this, that he who has begun a work in you has work to do until he comes back.
Mm.
There is no, all right, there is no line where you jump over from, all right, we've been working and now we're good.
Nope.
That good is like, and now you're dead.
Yeah.
That's your line.
Yeah.
That's your line. So for the legalists out there, please explain to me, at what point do you hit the line before you die?
Wow.
So that now you say, okay, I got to make sure I do this. I got to make sure I do that. Okay. I want to make sure you did all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Please explain to me when that line is where you said, good, I do all of it now.
There is a young man. There is a young man that was part of the denomination that I am speaking of, who is now an atheist, and he's going back a couple of times. I'm an atheist, now I came back, and now I'm a preacher,
right?
And now I'm an atheist again.
Okay.
And it's not a shock.
No, it's not.
Because back when he had started being a preacher, he was posting, you know, little messages on Facebook every day. And one time he was saying, like, if you fall short at all of God's light, you know, like, we have to strive not to fall short of God's light. And I literally commented and was like, what is God's light?
Yes. What does that mean?
What is the qualification?
What is the qualification?
And you know, he's just like, any type of, you know, there's anything against the word of God. And I'm like, okay. So are you telling me
you are without sin?
That you are without sin?
So now God is a liar.
Whoa.
That's what we're saying.
So what did Jesus die for? I mean, he could have just saved himself.
Might as well.
He could have just stayed up in heaven and
might
chilled
as well.
If we were able to achieve. That's what Paul, like,
what
literally the whole New Testament.
And certain books specifically, Galatians.
Yes. He literally is saying, like, because the law, you could not.
Yes.
Grace has done what the law could not do.
Correct.
You could not keep all of the God's law. You know, he let you try.
Certainly.
For generations, he showed us what it looked like for us to strive in our own strength and fall short.
Certainly.
To where the greatest among us, the priests themselves, the holiest of the holy of us, are going into the Holy of Holies on our behalf because we can't go. And he's the best, the cream of the crop, getting dragged out dead because he couldn't meet the mark.
Yeah.
Cream of the crop, the best of us,
the best,
couldn't be in his presence.
Right.
You know, and so, like, what do you mean? Like, how are we? And I thank God for that revelation because, you know, I wasn't going to make it as a Christian if I didn't understand grace because I couldn't serve a God like that.
Right.
That's a problem.
It is.
And that's what happens where you see this great falling away of people that are like, I cannot serve a God like that.
Yes.
I don't blame you. Neither can I. Good thing he's not like that.
He ain't like that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God he's not like that.
Yeah.
Because why would we? We should all just be like, hey, we're done with you. Mm-hmm. If that's really who he is.
Mercy.
My goodness, you know.
That's it. And the Bible says it's like having begun in the spirit. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, do you now continue in the flesh?
Wow.
It's like if you're going to do that, then Christ died. If we're now justified by the flesh and not by grace, then Christ died in vain.
Yep.
There was no point.
Yep.
Because if that's the case, then his grace doesn't mean anything. You just need to do what you're supposed to do in the flesh.
Right.
And then that'll be your righteousness.
Right.
But unfortunately, you can't. That's why he came and died in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible also says, if any man says he has no sin,
he is a liar. And the truth is not in him.
Good. So now, if you fall short of the light, it means you have sin.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So now that we have established all men have sinned and all have fallen short of this light, therefore, Jesus Christ still died for no reason because nobody's being saved.
Mercy.
Because we've fallen short of the light.
Mercy.
It's foolishness.
It is foolishness.
And it's not actually of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's of Satan.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yes.
It is because he's trying to get us to hate God.
Yeah, and he's trying
and not
to
receive salvation.
And he's exposing really pride, and it's always pride. Everything is pride.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing that, oh, I am good enough.
Mm-hmm.
No, you ain't. Who
no,
said
you're not.
That? Who told you that?
Mm-hmm.
Good enough like what? I'm finally, you ain't finally nothing.
Mm-mm.
You finally lying again, like, no. You ain't good enough. You don't have it together. I don't care how holy you are. You're a wretch. If Paul could say he was a wretch undone and God chose him to write the Bible, then what are we doing out here?
That's all I'm saying.
Please explain that to me.
That's all I'm saying.
If he's a wretch, then Lord have mercy. I'm a true heathen. Mm-mm-mm. A true ne'er-do-well. A vagabond. An outcast.
You're the only person I know this is ne'er-do-well. I don't feel like I've ever heard that before until
that's an old English term. Ne'er-do-well. So is vagabond for all that matter.
Well, at least I've heard of a vagabond. Ne'er-do-well.
Oh, thou beggared. Oh, man. No, you're just struggling out here.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that God, he's rich in mercy. It's like trying to, the reason why Jesus, like, it's so, Christ was so necessary is because he had to put a face to the name. That people, anytime you talk about God, it's like for people who aren't against God, like, yeah, I love God. It's like, okay, well, do you love Christ? It's like, eh. It's like, well, then you don't love God. That's the.
No, it's true.
It's true.
No, one time when I did a Bible study with the teens at our church, it was a very foundational situation. Yeah. Like very, I was just going through the basics with them because I was like, you're at a point, and they were about to go off to college. And I was like, here's what I want to leave with you. Like, literally, here's what I want to leave with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to believe in God for yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to accept Jesus as Savior for yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do y'all believe what you believe?
Right.
You know, and what is it that you believe? And, you know, like, I need you to start digging into that. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. That's what pastor be saying. I need you to da-da-da. But it's because we care, okay? Yeah. I don't actually need that from you, but you need to. Mm-hmm. And because I care about you so much, I want for you to, like, really start digging. Like, know the Lord for yourself. Yeah. Know the word for yourself.
Please.
And have an answer for every man, you know? So, anyway, I was just asking them very foundational questions. Do you believe the Bible is true? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that God is real? Do you believe that Jesus is real? Da da da. And one of them said to me, you know, for a long time, I could get down with Jesus, but I couldn't get down with God.
Right.
Because Jesus was the New Testament and he was coming with the love and the forgiveness and all of that. But I couldn't get down with God because, like, when you read the Old Testament, he was just killing everybody and, you know, doing all this harsh stuff. And I was like, that's the point.
Right.
That's the point. God can't be a loving God without us realizing who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really appreciate what he did without seeing who we are.
Right.
He had to let us see who we are.
It's true. The law was our taskmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And he is the express image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that what we see as a mean God is like, no, I'm actually loving.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really treat, like, the law was literally our taskmaster. It was there as a mediator. It was in place until perfect came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is Christ, and brung actual grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that the law was there. And it's crazy. It really wasn't even about them being right. It was actually just about them being holy, which is, we actually equate holiness with rightness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're more holy, then you're more right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it
That's
means.
That's not true.
It actually means, it literally means set apart. That's actually what holy means.
Amen.
It means, like, we're over here.
Wow.
And y'all are over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose for all the rules is that you would be more distinguishable and a testimony to God.
Mm-hmm.
In that you're over here. I was saying this to one of the guys because he was saying, I'm getting a tattoo. I was like, oh, you know, whatever. And somehow I ended up saying, yeah, you know, God doesn't really want us to get tattoos like that. And I'm saying, at least he said that to the Israelites, you know, don't get tattoos. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of the tattoo, it was not so that you didn't have a tattoo.
Right.
It was so that you would be distinguished, so people would know we're not of these people who are all the time is saying they do the abomination of desolation or the abomination of nations, where they're doing this stuff. It's like, I don't want you to be intermixed with that, because I need you to be a testimony of me on earth until that is perfect comes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why you have all these rules, is because for y'all to remain set apart, I need y'all to have an understanding.
Yeah.
They don't need, and it wasn't even revealed yet, because what was revealed in the New Testament is like, oh, this person, that they knew the prophet was coming.
Right.
They didn't know it was God.
Right.
They thought, they didn't know it was God. They
I never thought about that.
They didn't know.
They didn't know God himself was coming.
They didn't know. They thought somebody was going to come. It's like, no. Why? And this is how you know Jesus Christ is God. Because why in the world would I send another one of y'all to save somebody? Let's just establish. You are a stiff-necked people. There's only been a handful of y'all in here and ain't a perfect one in y'all bunch. Mm-hmm. Let's not think that Jesus Christ was some perfect human, some special human being, like, oh, he just had this extra. No, no, no. It was God in flesh. He was the only one that was actually going to, first of all, I don't know how y'all think a human being, like, just hey, straight up human, he's just really good. It's like, no, he's told y'all. Really great human. Ain't none of y'all are righteous.
Yeah.
It's like, I told y'all that. No, not one. So they didn't know it was God coming to save them.
Wow.
They didn't know. It's like, oh, I need y'all to hold it down. Please, like, hold it down over here because I'm coming. Mm. And he didn't even, like, you know, he didn't tell them the full extent.
Yeah.
And some of them still don't believe the full extent. That's why. Because they didn't realize, like, oh, God with us. It's like they thought it meant something else. It's like, no, it's actually with us is God.
Wow.
That's Emmanuel. Yeah. And with us is God. He came. I don't even remember what point I was trying to make.
I mean, that was a good point, though.
That's a good point. But yeah, just to come to the realization that your holiness was really for a time. That's why almost none of that stuff even matters anymore.
That makes a lot of sense, though, Ron.
Yes, because
as far as like the difference between holiness and righteousness,
correct?
Righteousness is right living. Holiness is to be set apart.
Righteousness.
He wants us to be holy or set apart as he is set apart.
Right, but righteousness is right standing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's but really righteousness is just means that your relationship with God is in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can stand before God and be okay. The righteous will not. You know, I think that might have been in the Quran. I don't even remember.
Oh.
But what I was about to say. But more or less, a lot of the Quran is from the Bible.
I hear you.
But you know, it's like no. It's not the Quran. It's. I don't remember, but it's basically saying if you're unrighteous, it's you will not stand. Where's my Bible? Here we go. I always do this.
I mean, I have my phone right here.
Yeah. Problem with the Bible is the Bible has like, I can tell where stuff is based off of where it is on the page.
Okay.
I'm going to read the Bible because, you know, this is a biblical show, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to be just saying stuff. Yeah. And make sure y'all check anyway. So
yeah, I'm gonna go. This is in Psalms. I feel like it's Psalms 1.
To mislead nobody.
I actually think it's Psalms 1, maybe Psalms 2. Let me see. Here it go.
Needed to stretch.
You're darn right, you did.
I'm hungry.
Here it is. This is Psalm 1.
Okay.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, mm-hmm. nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the first part.
Yes.
And here's the second part. The ungodly are not so.
Mm-hmm.
But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Means you shall not be declared righteous.
Yeah.
It means like in the judgment, you won't be up like, hey, Lord. Oh, it'd be like, no, you're going to be face down, you know, weeping.
I'm sorry.
Right. That's the righteousness.
Yeah.
But we only get that righteousness because of Christ.
Yeah.
Right. We don't have it as humans.
He's our righteousness.
But your holiness is set apart. Anything can be holy. Like, mm-hmm. these mics are holy because they're specifically for the podcast. We don't use them for anything else.
That's true.
So when God is giving the Israelites all of these, hey, do this, do that, make sure you do it like this. A lot of it is because it's a shadow of Christ. A lot of it has to do with what he was trying to convey.
Yeah, it was a
representation. Right? He was trying to convey a lot of Christ without saying it, but they didn't necessarily understand that.
Well, because all of it was what needed to be done for the remission of sin.
Right.
Like all the things they had to do were what Jesus did and who he was.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you think even like when he says, hey, I need you to build a tabernacle, do it exactly like this.
Yeah.
Do it like specific way. And, you know, talking about, hey, you have the three baptisms and have this court here. Have this here.
Yeah.
Have the bowl to wash the hands here.
Yeah.
Have the fire and the burnt offering
right,
here.
Right, right, right.
You know, all that stuff.
It all represented
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't necessarily know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they just think, oh, we have all these rules and regulations, which is why, you know, a lot of that stuff is done with.
Yeah.
because it was only a shadow of Christ, and it was only there to literally make you set apart as a testimony to Yahweh until Christ came. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't do that stuff no more, because it's finished. We're not holier. We're set apart by Christ.
Yeah.
That's your new set apart.
Amen.
That's your righteousness.
Amen.
I belong to Christ.
Yeah. I signed Corey up for the National Bible Bee because she has a great memory. So I'm like, let's give it a shot. But I love the summer Bible study regardless. Like, even if she doesn't make it into the actual National Bible Bee, you know, the Bible study for the summer was cool. And it's called Believe. And it's based mostly off of 1 John. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not 1 John. John 1.
Yeah.
And he says, all these signs that I've written are so that you may believe.
That's right.
You know, that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you will have life.
There you go.
You know, and so she's learning. The last lesson we were doing is that Jesus is God, and they were showing, how do we know he's God? And then they were doing, Jesus was 100% human. Mm-hmm. How do we know he was human? It was showing her like verses where he ate, he slept, he got, you know, he got hungry, he got thirsty, he slept, he had a human mother, things like that. And I love the study. It's very advanced for a 7-year-old.
Maybe it is.
But I love it. I love that. I love that they're going through all that with her, like, at such a young age or whatever, because she's really going to have, like, such an understanding of who she believes in and why, you know? And I kind of lost my train of thought because I'm very enamored with just the Bible study itself. It was something you said that spurred me to say that. But you know, it's teaching her, like, all that Jesus came to do and who he is and all of that. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember why I brought that up, but it was good.
Certainly. It's just where it's noteworthy that how could he have both God's nature and human nature? He got his human nature from his mother.
Yeah.
And his God's nature from, his godly nature from the father. And that this, oh man, when I think about it, it's like, well, why did he make him father? Because here it is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it's really just a distinction. It's like he could have called him to anything of God.
He could have.
But he called him a son. Mm-hmm. And to think that God carries on the sins of 4 generations, if I'm not mistaken. But because God has no sin.
What do you mean by that?
Like, you can pay for the sin. He doesn't attribute the sin. Like, it's the sin of the father can affect the son.
Oh, but only down 4 generations.
I'm not even sure if it's 4. Okay. I don't remember. But, like, and God was saying, you know, God, his father, has no sin. Mm-hmm. So that's how he could actually be a perfect sacrifice, because it's like he wasn't born with a sin nature. Mm-hmm. Right. He was born as a human, but he was not born with sin nature, because you get your attributes from your father. Mm. Right. So he's a human by his mother, but his nature was of God.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a sin nature.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is born, but the son is given. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that's really why he distinguishes him as a son, so that he could be his father, and that he could pass on his nature to him.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Because he had to be born under the law.
Yeah.
And that's not just, and that's the law of earth. Mm-hmm. Like, people, you know, he had to be born as a human to redeem humans.
Yeah.
But he also needed to be God in order to actually fix the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and be perfect enough to do it.
And be perfect. Right? Yeah. So it's a lot there.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with your marriage? Is that I don't care what your marriage is. It's more about your life. And I started off by saying that we bring problems to our marriage, and then we sit the problems at the marriage's feet, and then we say, my marriage didn't work. But God is saying, you need to come to my feet and leave your problems there.
Yeah.
You leave your problems at my feet, and then I can do something with them.
Amen.
I can fix your marriage. Don't take your problems to anybody else, but take them to Christ.
Amen.
And he will change your life.
And point the finger at you.
Certainly. Certainly. Don't point it at her. Mm-hmm. Don't point it at him.
You can't change him or her.
Not at all.
But you can take the steps to follow Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to change you.
That's it. And following Christ is really simple. And it really is the anchor and and linchpin and foundation of salvation is you making a conscious decision that I am no longer pursuing my own life and ambitions and sin, mm-hmm. but I'm going to follow Christ.
Amen.
And his life, or my life, will be his.
Amen.
And I accept his sacrifice, and I believe that what was said about him is true.
Amen.
And from that moment, you will be saved.
Amen. Praise God.
Your life can change in a way that it can only change with God. I don't care about motivational speaking and healthy diets and hiking and climbing mountains. That's great. But your soul, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
But to give your soul to Christ, the only one who can preserve it, is what makes the difference.
Amen.
All right. I love you, my love.
Love you too.
This is season two. We will see y'all eventually.
In a new house.
In a new house.
It's going to look different.
It's going to look different, and it's going to be something different.
Amen.
It'll be awesome. We love y'all. See you next time. Thank you.